Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association versus David Clark. Mr. Scott?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is James Scott. I'm from Milwaukee, and I represent Sheriff David Clark, Captain Edward Bailey, and Milwaukee County, the appellants in this matter. Over the past number of years, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department has had a continuing pattern and practice of allowing the use of their internal communication system and making it available to a number of community groups and organizations on matters relating to law enforcement. In this era we live in of pervasive email, the Sheriff's Department, for its top-down communications, still uses the roll call system. At the start of each shift in the various locales where the sheriff has deputies assigned, airport, patrol, jail, etc., deputies get together, they hear communications about what topics are pertinent, and they may also hear messages from community groups, either in the form of being read to them, being posted on the roll call bulletin board.
What other community groups other than the Christian centurions are there?
I'm sorry?
What other community groups' messages might be there?
There are organizations like the U.S. Marine Corps Toys for Tots program, particular ethnic groups.
Ethnic groups saying what?
Well, join
the Hungarians or whatever.
No, putting in a pitch for their particular event that they may be sponsoring to raise funds for some purpose in some sense related to law enforcement.
Yeah.
So what's the policy determine? What's the policy about who speaks at these various roll calls or at the conferences? What is the policy?
Well,
is it open to any organization that just wants to talk to the sheriffs, to the officers?
The policy is, by virtue of practice, is that it's got to be an organization that's a nonprofit, and it has to be some kind of organization that has some connection, the event or something has something to do with law enforcement or some appeal to the deputies.
What is the Toys for Tots have to do with law enforcement?
It's a fundraiser. It's a community-based fundraiser.
What does it have to do with law enforcement?
Well, the sheriff, one of the missions that this particular sheriff has is that he wants his deputies more involved in community affairs.
Well, that's not law enforcement.
Well, but the goal is to be involved in community affairs, and in that sense, you're right. The particular Toys for Tots is not directly related to law enforcement, other than in the sense that...
Give me a law enforcement-connected one that might be...
There are a host of fundraisers for individual deputies that may have had some kind of health issue or insurance isn't covering.
That sounds legit to me. I mean, we'll all raise money for a deputy so-and-so. What organizations, however, are involved?
There may be individual parishes that may have,
religion.
They have an annual event where a priest blesses the canine squad cars. I mean, there are.
And did you say that facetiously? I mean.
No, I'm serious.
No, I mean.
Don't breathe anything in a Catholic, though. You might catch a couple.
That's right.
2 cents from the bench here.
They have one of the particular parishes in Milwaukee sponsors an event where they bless the squad cars, and another one has an event where a priest blesses the canine unit, not the individual dogs, but the vehicle.
Is it an Episcopal priest or a Catholic priest? I mean, I don't know what you know.
I'm sorry?
Is it an Episcopal priest or a Catholic priest?
Actually, both.
Oh.
In the record, there are
ecumenical, yes.
Some 500 flyers from various groups that have had their particular solicitation or invitation read to
roll calls. So that the people in the squad room have to be there for listening to this.
They do.
But like you said, don't the majority of these events or these groups those are done by flyers that are posted, or maybe the flyer is read to the group, but not a personal appearance
right.
like the Centurions.
Right. But there have been groups, and they're listed in Judge Adelman's decision, that have appeared and made
pitch.
Individual presentations.
Pitch, I called it.
Pitch. The reference.
Usually, in terms of these speakers, the sheriff, is it the general practice that the sheriff invites these groups, or do the groups ask the sheriff if they can appear?
Typically, the groups would ask the sheriff, or they may ask one of the higher ranking, the inspectors have the ability to approve presentations at roll calls, and even at the lowest level, sometimes sergeants, I understand, are permitted to.
And is there any policy in terms of who actually speaks at the roll call versus just a flyer?
The record reflects that the sheriff's testimony was that he's never turned down anyone who's asked to make a personal presentation. So there, I guess the answer is there isn't a policy in terms of who gets to make the presentation. It's somewhat self-limiting in the sense that you, in order to catch all of the roll calls, they're conducted at 7, 3, and 11 at night in 5 or 6 different locations. So it would take quite an effort to speak to all of the deputies at all the various locales in Milwaukee County.
Well, what if the sheriff didn't allow a group to speak but read their flyer or posted it on the wall? Would that be a violation of the group's First Amendment rights?
I would say no.
Didn't the sheriff personally endorse this religious group?
No, Your Honor. I mean,
well, didn't he say that he would promote people who were people of faith and so forth?
Well, there were actually two different events here. There's the series of roll calls, and then there was the leadership conference meeting, which consisted of 43 of the top-ranking members of the department.
And that was mandatory, wasn't it?
That was mandatory also. And at each of these leadership conferences, the sheriff invites some community organization in to make some kind of presentation. He invited these two gentlemen in. They made their presentation and over a period of a half an hour. And there's no question. There was some reference to Bible passages and the like. There was no prayer or actual religious activity.
And then didn't Clark kick off the conference with an announcement he would be making upcoming promotions to the rank of captain, and then distributed handouts that quoted the Bible and listed qualities a leader should look for, one of which was people of faith?
The document that...
There's a direct connection there.
Well, it isn't quite that direct, because the document that he handed out was a quotation from the John Maxwell Leadership Bible.
Well,
and it listed 15 different qualifications.
Maxwell's Bible is different than the normal Bible?
Yes.
What's the difference?
It's some management technique book written by a gentleman, John Maxwell, who's got about 20 different books on effective leadership style.
But he quotes the Bible in the book, or he writes his own version of the Bible?
He writes his own...
version of the Bible?
Well, his own version of what qualities you should have in order to be a successful manager. It's a business publication.
As a Christian. Well, you know, there are a lot of people in business. The difference between being in business and being able to be involved in religion and being in government is the First Amendment. But other than that, go ahead.
All right. The document, a one-page document that he handed out when he spoke 2 hours before the Centurions, made references to about 15 different qualities of a successful leader, and one of them was to select people of faith as your subalterns.
And then it was after that presentation that Clark and Bailey arranged for additional presentations at the roll call, and there were 16 presentations at the roll call with flyers and books that were featured at the leadership conference were made available.
Well, there was the one-page flyer, which is in the appendix, which was the invitation to people to come to the presentation that took place at Elmbrook Church.
Right.
And then they had boxes of these books that were available if people wanted them.
And then in that little flyer that was sent out, it talks about, it asks the question, are you seeking, with a question mark. And then it says, a chance to discuss with your peers how you can impact others for Christ, how Christ can impact your life. So, I mean, the flyer was very explicit.
Well, explicit in the sense that it certainly alerted people to the fact that if you attended this seminar put on by the City of Milwaukee Police Chief and former Packer John Anderson, that there was going to be some Christian underpinnings to these support groups that may or may not be formed.
Hmm.
It's our position that the presentation by the Centurions was not an endorsement of religion. The district court found that it did have the effect of advancing religion, but we believe that if you look at this in the context of all of the other
things...
What's
the purpose if it isn't endorsing religion?
The purpose was to make available to the deputies the opportunity to participate in an event, upcoming event, being held at a church.
Which was supported by the sheriff.
To form peer support groups. It was not necessarily supported by the sheriff.
Well, then why would it be there at all? Why did he put it in?
He thought the goal of having peer support groups available to officers was a worthwhile goal.
I mean, that advanced law enforcement, not religion.
Correct.
Oh. Well, why didn't he just talk about law enforcement? Why did he have to get religion in it at all?
Well, he invited the people to make
the
invitation.
Yeah, I know, but I want to know why. If he's not endorsing it, why does he invite them?
Well, I think there's a significant difference between endorsement in a First Amendment sense and inviting someone to make a presentation.
It may very well be, but in this case, that fine distinction escapes me altogether. I'll tell the truth.
Well, he certainly wasn't advancing religion any more with this invitation than with the other religious invitations or the secular invitations.
Well, secular invitations don't have anything to do with religion. That's why they're secular.
But you can't make the leap in faith from, pardon the poor pun.
I think there's a Freudian slip, but go ahead.
Right. It doesn't necessarily follow because the sheriff allows someone to make a presentation.
Invites
someone to make a presentation.
And stands by it with what he said and what he wrote.
That the purpose is to advance the religion any more than an invitation to the Milwaukee soccer club or a particular hockey team.
No, that's sports. That says right. Entertainment. This is not offered for the purposes of entertainment, I assume.
But the question is whether or not he's resorting, whether he's endorsing and advancing.
No. I could invite you to a sports event. For entertainment purposes, when I invite you to my church, that's a horse of another color. You're not going for entertainment. You're going there to be enlightened on religion or participate in a religious ceremony. They're different, aren't they?
But you may not be inviting me to your church for the purposes of advancing...
How would you get the distinction if you worked for me? If I invite you to my church, does it sound like you better come?
Well, if you... same thing might be true if you invited me to an Illinois football game, and I might have...
Yeah, I might just say, you know, come down there and cheer for a football team, or don't. Boo. Have a beer. You're into your rebuttal time.
All right. Thank you.
Is it Cermelli?
Yes, ma'am, exactly. Thank you. My name is John Cermelli. I represent the plaintiffs, Deputy Sino, Deputy Zydek, and the Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association. I think Judge Adelman got it right. To me, there is a clear connection between the sheriff's promotional desires at the leadership conference and his putting on for a presentation, the Christian Centurions. When I read Mr. Scott's appellate briefs, Mr. Scott says this really isn't an Establishment Clause case. It's a free exercise case. In other words, his defense here, and it's rather unique because I don't think he has a very strong defense on the Establishment Clause case. His defense is that if I had not, or if the sheriff had not allowed the Christian Centurions to come in, then he'd be susceptible to a free exercise clause claim. I don't think that holds much water. It seems to me that, first, the application of a forum analysis, which is what the sheriff does in this case, is suspect. This is not a free speech case. His defense is not that the Centurions had a free speech right that could have been violated, which, by the way, the Centurions never made a claim that they had an exercise right or a free speech right. So I'm a little concerned about applying a forum type of analysis to this case. There, nevertheless, if the court's interested, there are three separate fora. One is the leadership conference. Two is the roll calls themselves. And three is a roll call bulletin board. Now, the leadership conference occurred first. There, the court has understood that what the sheriff did was hand out a flyer, which can be found at document 57, sub 6. And what it says is it quotes Proverbs 11:14, saying your advisors will make or break you, and then lists eight factors that he said, the sheriff said, he wants to focus on when making the next round of promotions to captains. Those eight factors are, four of them, are underlined. Loyal people, people who share your vision, people with complementary gifts, and people of faith. Now, this is from the Maxwell Leadership Bible, and there were some questions of Mr. Scott about that. Maxwell Leadership Bible is a rather thick document. It's set up just like a Bible. It quotes the Bible, but it applies it in terms of leadership principles, if that helps the court in terms of the questions that were there before. Then, by the way, when the sheriff said that he was going to take a look at these four or eight factors, including faith when it comes to promotion, he also said, we're not going to rely on things that we relied on before, like test scores or seniority, things that people would generally consider objective. The facts are, then, that there was a breakout session that lasted approximately 1 hour, and when the breakout session was done, the Christian Centurions were allowed to speak. There were two centurions who were present. The first one went on at length, quoting the Bible, quoting the book of James, explaining his purpose in being there.
The book of James?
Yes, sir, the book of James. And
you mean the Bible according to St. James or somebody else?
Well, that's a good question, Your Honor.
King James version of the Bible, pick a number. I can't
quote you chapter and verse on that. I'm sorry. But he did.
Unlike the centurions.
Unlike the centurions, I cannot. Right. But what he did do, let me see if I can find it here for just a second. He explained that the civil government was God's idea. The deputies were ministers of God. He quoted the Bible's book of James, saying that, quote, God who ordained authority inspired a book and sent a counselor to help them deal with stresses, them being the ministers, which he equated to law enforcement, with the stresses of their God-given authority. That's what essentially the first speaker did. Then the first speaker sits down.
Law enforcement is God-given authority? Is that what it said?
What it said was that civil government was God's idea, that those who were present, deputies, were leaders and, quote, ministers of God. And then he quotes the Bible, and then he...
Jefferson, Madison, and a few other people might be a little nervous about that.
Well, they might, and so were my clients.
And I would suggest, however, that the legislature of Wisconsin might have something to do with the establishing the government in Milwaukee anyway.
Yes, sir.
But perhaps guided by the Lord.
Perhaps. The next forum that we... Oh, by the way, and I forgot to explain that after that, this book was made available.
What's the book?
The book is called Putting the Pieces Together, How Real Life and Real Faith Connect, and it is to discover the grand pattern of God's intention and purpose in your life. And this is also in the record.
It's also offered, just offered. You can take it or not take it.
It is. It is not handed out. It's offered. Okay. But when it is offered, the sheriff is in the room. The senior management staff are in the room. They would know who chose to pick up the book, who chose not to pick up the book. And remember that the leadership conference, just like the roll calls...
Were these given out free, or did they have to pay?
My understanding is there was no cost. The leadership conference, as well as the roll calls, are required attendance. If you're a supervisor, you go to the leadership conference. If you're a lowly deputy, you go to the roll call.
And at the roll call, did each of the roll calls have different groups of deputies? Did some of them overlap? Were they hitting all of the roll calls at 7 a.m., the 3 and the night? Or do you, is that
I don't know that. I believe that once we filed the action, it stopped. I don't know if they were hitting each three of the three roll calls a day for the first several days. But these, the point being, is that these are places where supervisors and or deputies are required to be as a condition of their employment. Mm-hmm. And I think Judge Adelman recognized that and found that in addition to what seemed to be a fairly clear connection between the sheriff and this religious message, that endorsement, there's also the aspect of coercion. Now, we find that aspect most often in the case law with the public school cases. Children of 10
Gideon
years.
Gideon Bibles. Can't distribute Gideon Bibles at public schools.
That's right. I think that's the Berger case. Right.
That
you
is.
Can't do that. Yeah. Maybe the decision might have been different had it been after hours. But, of course, the Gideons didn't want the school after hours. The Gideons wanted the school with bodies in the seats. And that is the same thing that the sheriff wanted in this case. He could have invited the centurions to show up I don't know where, but someplace where there aren't bodies in the seats that are required to be there. He chose not to.
So if the sheriff just read the centurion's information out loud, said this group is being formed, you know, there's going to be a meeting off-site or whatever, that wouldn't violate the establishment clause.
If the sheriff had posted the Gideon's flyer on the bulletin board, we wouldn't be here today.
The centurion's flyer.
Centurion's, I'm sorry.
No, skip. Gideon's do a good job with hotels. But
they do. Not with schools. We wouldn't be here today if that was on the bulletin board. And I think, actually, if the sheriff had stood up at the roll call meeting and kind of said, you know, here, look, there's this group here. You know, you want to check it out, go check it out.
Well,
that's even closer, though.
And even if he read that second and third little bullet about Christ, you think that would be okay? Just to read that and...
I don't think we would file a lawsuit over it.
But would that? Do you think that would be a violation?
I think in a captive audience setting, it might. But we're talking about apples and oranges here. The connection between who he's going to promote and then the presentation of the centurions, not the Gideons, and the required presence at a roll call with the understanding that these deputies had that the sheriff invited these guys to show up. That was made clear at each roll call that they were there. The supervisor would say, these folks are here, they've been invited by the sheriff. Now, what would the reasonable deputy who's sitting at a roll call think? Well, I've never seen a religious group here before invited by the sheriff. I've seen the Marines, I've seen Toys for Tots, I've seen UPAF. Maybe I've seen United Way, and they're here to make a pitch because they want some money. But these guys are different. They don't want my money. They want me to show up.
I bet you they wouldn't turn down the money, but go ahead.
So there is a difference there. And I think that while the coercion is not the same as you'd find with a child of 10 years, the issue is not the concern, is not that the deputies would be indoctrinated. The concern is that the state is using the machinery of the state and requiring the deputies, as a condition of their employment, to sit in those chairs and listen to it. And it's not just listening to it either, because if you're a supervisor at the leadership conference, you want to rise in the ranks. You want to be a captain, or you want to be an inspector. Pretty clear message that if you want to rise in the ranks, maybe you ought to pay attention at least to what these folks are saying. If you're a deputy, remember, the roll call, there was no discussion about the promotion to captains. In the roll call, it's simply required to be here. Here's what's going on. This is what you need to know about for this day work in the sheriff's department. And, oh, by the way, the sheriff has invited these folks to talk to you. And then they talk. There, the pressure is less subtle, but it's no less significant. There, the deputies have to decide whether or not they want to curry the favor of their employer. Their employer has invited these people here. According to their employer's own testimony, he has, quote, partnered, unquote, with everybody he invited, be they to a roll call or to a leadership conference. Well, if a deputy or a supervisor knows the sheriff has partnered with people that have been invited, now the deputy or supervisor believes that the sheriff is partnering with the Centurions. Powerful message.
Well, what's his endorsement if it's not coercion? Is that your...
I think there are two ways to look at this. I think you can look at it on a lemon type of analysis, and the second prong, primary effect prong, I think that's what Judge Adelman did. And I think the primary effect of the sheriff inviting the Centurions to be present at the leadership conference or the roll call clearly implied to a reasonable deputy, knowing the history of those different, I don't want to use it, but forum, that there was an endorsement there. You couple that with a coercion. And now you don't have to have the coercion for the endorsement, but when you do have coercion, there's no question that it's a violation of the Establishment Clause. And I think we have the coercion aspect in both the leadership conference and the roll call. I just wanted to address the court had some questions of Mr. Scott in terms of whether there was a policy of having who to invite. My understanding is the only policy, and it was unwritten, was who the sheriff wanted to be there and who he had, quote, partnered with previously. Now, I'll give you an example of who was allowed to speak at the leadership conference. There was a bike guy, a guy who owned a bike shop and he donated bikes to the department. There was a kite guy, K-I-T-E, who made kites that flew, donated one to the department, apparently. And there was a train guy who actually made a little miniature model of the freeway. Those are the kind of groups that had come or organizations that had spoken at the leadership conference. And then you get the Centurions, somewhat of a contrast. Who had spoken at the roll calls? Marines Toys for Tots, United Performing Arts, United Way, those kind of things. Not the Centurions, not the Midwestern Academy of Sacred Sciences, not any religious group. I started this out by saying I think Judge Adelman got it right. To me, it's a fairly clear endorsement message. It's a clear violation of the Establishment Clause. I don't believe that the sheriff's relatively newfound defense of free exercise or free speech holds any water. There's no evidence in the record that the sheriff ever considered that or was concerned about whether or not the Centurions might have a free exercise claim. But to the extent that Mr. Scott makes that argument, that should point you in one direction. If the sheriff actually knew that he might have a free exercise claim if he didn't allow the Centurions to speak, and allowed them to speak anyway, then he knew that they were freely exercising their religion when they were speaking. And allowing them to do that assisted in the endorsement. It's a problem in terms of their argument. Unless there are any other questions, I very much appreciate the time to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Cimelli. How much time? 1 minute?
You can clear your throat.
Mr. Scott.
Well, I just want to make one brief point, I guess, within my minute. Mr. Cimelli said in his view there is a clear connection between promotional standards and religion. It's undisputed in this record that the sheriff has no idea what the religious beliefs or non-beliefs are of his 600 employees. He has no way of knowing that.
He doesn't have to. He knows the religious position taken by the centurions, and he knows his position.
But his position is that there's some kind of clear-cut link between the ability to get promoted and your religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. Judge Edelman found that there was no evidence of that. The leadership conference, again, was 43 people at the top management in the department, not the troops. Everybody there had already been promoted at least once, some multiple times. Many of them were above the rank of captain. So this perceived linkage between a presentation 2 hours before the centurions that's unsupported in the record with any evidence or link between promotion and your religious beliefs, is simply based on a very scant inference on the part of the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Thank you for your arguments, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.